It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 9th day of January, 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's home for all things Horn. It's a great place to go for all your podcasting needs, whatever platform you choose to use. Also, of course, it's the portal to the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky hanging out there and waiting for your arrival. If you've never done it before, just pick out a screen name and a password and jump right in. They'll give you a big old howdy, and we'll get and you'll be part of the mix. All capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes, I guess it's a nice mid-50s day out in the mid-50s Northern California afternoon. It's for here and now. Well, it's 2 minutes after 4 here in the Central Standard Time Zone, and it's been a lovely day, mostly blue skies. And I understand back home from talking to the lovely Agnes there's rather a bit of snow on the ground.
Ill snow. Yeah.
You know, I remember growing up down here, and you know, a half an inch of snow would fall, and they'd declare martial law, and the grocery stores would be emptied of the milk, the bread, and the eggs, and the school would be closed, and we thought, ooh, snow, pretty, pretty snow. You know, you move away from down here and snow's not so pretty anymore. Or maybe it's just a function of getting older and finding it to be a giant pain in the ass to deal with. Whatever. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday here at the Horn, and every program here begins with gratitude because we have no sponsors. There is no corporate money. Nobody's cashing any great big whopping checks from CVS or Chevron or anybody like that. No ads for bowling balls that can be picked up by vacuum cleaners, or vacuum cleaners that can pick up bowling balls, or Buy Gold Now ads, or wavy radios, or Swedish mattresses made out of foam developed by NASA, or flooring from some abused Southern Hemisphere island nation with some of the last hardwood floors, forests on Earth. No steel buildings, just your determination that independent, uncompromising, no holds barred, pull no punches, liberal progressive broadcasting exists. And so thanks go out to our two subscribers for this day of the month, the 9th day of the month. Thanks going out to Ralph's. Ralph's set up a brand new subscription today just so that Khalil wouldn't be all alone. So thank you to Ralph's, and thank you to Khalil very, very kindly. Thanks also to Hung Like Buddy, Hung Like Jesus, for jumping in to help take down the fundraising goal. So that what we find is that here on this the Thorn in the Side Thursday, we're looking at a fundraising goal of $530. 1053 or 53 people at $10. 53 new subscribers at $10 a piece. That would be wonderful, but probably not going to happen. But you got to believe. You got to have that seed faith miracle. No, wait. This isn't Wednesday. This is Thursday. So no, there won't be any plate passing or any deacons. No. But at any rate, it's $530, and if we could get started on that, like now. It would be great if tomorrow wasn't $730 for Friday on the front porch, but that's where we are. With this program note, remember, I'm trying to mention this every program, because next week there will be no live programs. Now, if I didn't tell you when we started running the reruns, you might go, "Oh, Newton, no." We don't operate that way. There will be no new live programs. Where's the camera? There's the camera. Bad angle this evening. I have to do something about the camera operator. It's a pity he's invisible. I could throw something, but just dodge it. There will be no live programs next week, because next week is dress rehearsals, and then a week from tonight, the play begins. We debut, we premiere, and everybody's working really, really hard. Everyone is hopefully getting better from the various illnesses that have afflicted the cast. I think four out of the cast of seven. Seven. Four out of seven have been sick so far, and it's almost like the Scottish play or something, but no, it's that time of year, and flus and sniffles and snuffles and general sinus miseries, but things are looking good, and it should be a great show. I'm looking forward to it, but again, next week, no programs at all. Yeah, how about that? Note from Sparky Man Cave in the chat room. Unless I missed it, not one news show discussed the Sniffapalooza speech yesterday made by hashtag Sniffy McAdderall. That's good. Cowbell for Sniffy McAdderall yesterday. He can't pronounce tolerated, or accomplishments during a major speech, but not a peep about it. But they were concerned as hell about Hillary's coughing. SMDH, shake my damn head. Well, you know what? This program talked about it. This program talks about things. And then, there's no sense in hiding our light under a bushel. We talk about things before the multimillionaires even dream of talking about things. We saw that with the recording from the federal judge that we talked about on Monday. I guess we're just good at it. And yeah, there's a good reason to be worried about the well-being of Nitwit Nero. He's not a well man. And the funny thing is, I think a lot of people know it, but everybody just says, "Well, you know, if we just kind of ignore it, maybe he'll get beat in 2020, and then maybe, you know, we'll be okay." It really doesn't work that way, you know. It doesn't at all. And meanwhile, as noted before, Dr. Bandy Lee is out there screaming from the rooftops, begging for somebody to file a mental hygiene against Chlamydia Claudius. So far, no takers, which is distressing, but everybody's afraid of what would happen. Don't worry, that was just ice, the good kind. that noise. Hell, maybe it didn't even make it over here. But we talk about these things here because we've got kind of a news hound's nose for the things for the things that really do matter. And that's what makes all of this so very, very special. So this being Thorn in the Side Thursday, where to start? How about we pick up sort of with something we left off with last evening? There is an element of, I guess you would we would say, sad humor to this particular story. You may recall that I had we had audio yesterday of Mike Lee, the senior senator from Utah, breaking orthodoxy to declare that the so-called briefing that senators and members of the House were given was utterly insufficient, and that he intended to support Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia's bill, limiting the president's ability to try to start World War III with Iran. And he was hot. And so what did the Julius Geyser regime do? Well, of course, they sicked Jared Kushner on him. Yeah, I know. They sicked the Trump regime's spindly, rickets-ridden, pruny, pale, pasty little imitation of a Ken doll on a guy who fancies himself to be a constitutional scholar, when I dare say Jared Kushner probably couldn't spell constitutional if you spotted him everything but the goddamn vowels. An aide to Senator Lee said, Senator Lee was planning on reaching out to President Trump, but then Jared Kushner called Senator Lee last night and they talked, and Kushner said he would share Senator Lee's concerns with the president. He went to Jared. Meanwhile, though, you know you're in upside down world when for the first time possibly goddamn ever you find yourself in agreement with Senator Mike Lee and, what's more, Rand Paul and that thing on his head. Oh, yeah, Rand Paul said that wasn't a briefing. And that ain't constitutional, what they did. No. Lee said it was an absurd briefing and the justification for the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani was absurd. Lee went on to say, as I recall, one of my colleagues asked a hypothetical involving the supreme leader of Iran. If at that point the United States government decided that it wanted to undertake a strike against him personally, recognizing that he would be a threat to the United States, would that require authorization for the use of military force? And, of course, the geniuses of the Trump regime, because after all, the J in Donald J. Trump stands for genius. They didn't have an answer. I don't know, maybe, possibly, who can say, huh? And Lee said the fact that there was nothing but refusal to answer that question was perhaps the most deeply upsetting thing to me in that meeting, because it is patently against the law to assassinate the leaders of other countries. You know, the law of the United States of America. So that's the follow-up. Apparently Mike Lee has not decided to, no. On the other hand, out in MAGA America, and in particular, in Pennsylvania, Stan. I'm guessing that the Wyoming Valley Mall in Wilkes-Barre Township is in that part of Pennsylvania that's neither Pittsburgh in the west nor Philly in the east, but is rather the part of Pennsylvania that's Alabama in the middle. And they had an active shooter situation because Merca at the Wyoming Valley Mall in Wilkes-Barre Township in PA. It happened last week, but this is all just evidence of the boil that's going on inside our national Instapot. Trying to be culturally relevant here. A maggot went to the mall. This, according to Will Clark, chief of the Wilkes-Barre, I don't know, some Pennsylvanian will tell me, township police. Somebody told the maggot to take off his red maggot hat. And the police chief said the individual was wearing a hat in support of Donald Trump. Apparently, the man told him to take his hat off. He refused. The individual threatened to assault him. The actor then took a swipe at the hat to knock it off his head. Actor, I guess, means the part, yeah, whatever. At that point, the victim backed up and drew his weapon and pointed it at the ground. The guy took off. So, brandishing a weapon over your maggot hat is apparently okay in Wilkes-Barre Township, and especially at the Wyoming Valley Mall. Chief Clark said the actor was obviously not a proponent of Donald Trump. I don't think they mean it was like Brad Pitt, an actor. It was just you'll notice the chief doesn't call him the perpetrator, because perpetrator is the word you use for somebody who does something criminal. This was just a guy saying, yeah, take off that fucking, aren't you embarrassed yet? Yeah. So, you know, just another damn day in Trump Merca. Yeah, I guess it is. Email from I don't know why it's not loading over there then. Yes, David in South Carolina, Stan, Pennsylvania. David in South Carolina, Stan says, is that Pennsyltucky you refer to? Yes, Pennsyltucky, Bama, Stan. I apologize. Darlene in Connecticut says, what will we do without you for a whole week, Bob? I was bemoaning this to Billable Rick yesterday. Ever the brilliant optimist and pointing out the aha to me, Billable suggested that we listen to Dr. Bill. So will the good doctor be having new programming next week? If so, what a bonus. If not, then we can always listen to Dr. Bill's or your podcasts, all of which will be enlightening. Break a leg next week, Bob, or as my professional fly fisherman father has always insisted people say, instead of good luck, which would amount to bad luck, tight lines. Yeah, nobody wants to be wished good luck. So theater, I guess ballet too, break a leg. Tight lines in fly fishing, I never knew that. I've learned something new today. It makes the day worthwhile. And sadly, no, there will probably not be any live Dr. Bill next week. Dr. Bill would be happy to go live. But because of the massive equipment failures up in the studio in almost level west by Cold Trump Genius Stan, we can't get a stream out. And don't know why. It appears that the computer that has run continuously for about the last 5 years has finally decided to go and live on a farm upstate where it can run and play outside anytime it wants to. And so I'll have to get home before I can address that and fix it. It'll probably involve buying a new desktop computer. Yay. I mean, but if we get five, you know, for something that runs 5 years without let up, 24/7, 365 practically, it's not. It's not unheard of to have one kick the bucket. Wow. There's the formal count courtesy of Sparky from yesterday's great address. Yeah. 58 times Nitwit Nero sniffed yesterday during his drug-addled monologue. To call it a speech is to insult everyone who's ever worked on giving one. Let's see. I think we've got audio.
Terrorist. Tolerated it.
Sounds like something out of a horror movie involved. You know, maybe it's from The Abyss, you know, when, what was his name? I think Ed Harris played him, but he was in that suit that filled up with water and you know, he was punching the messages because he couldn't talk anymore. But no, 58 Adderall-driven sniffs and snorts. And that was not just the same snort every time. That was a blunt cut edit of every sniff and every snort during an otherwise not particularly lengthy address. You know, we talked about it yesterday that it turned into a tantrum about Barack Obama, because everything turns into a tantrum about Barack Obama because, well, Tangerine Tiberius can't stand the thought that, you know, a man with a whole lot more melanin than him. What's the skin tone that turns? What's the skin pigment that turns you orange? I mean, is it tanginin? I don't know. But everything's a tantrum about Obama. Steve in New York says, "I'm surprised our Trumpansy friend, the guy in the maggot hat in Pennsylvania, didn't go and get his freedom protector and impose some Second Amendment remedies, because that guy told him to remove his." His hat violated the maggot's constitutional rights. I got a constitutional right to wear me a maggot hat. God, the fools, the mad fools. Well, I mean, he did draw a gun. Steve. I mean, there is that, but he only pointed it at the ground. Shh, don't anybody tell, but that's brandishing, too. And we've learned a little bit more about the plane that fell out of the sky, the Boeing 737. It didn't jump. It was pushed. New York Times has verified some video, whatever that means, when the New York Times does it, that shows a missile hitting a plane near Tehran Airport around the time and place that a Ukrainian jet crashed. The 737 was Ukrainian. Still trying to figure out why it is that. Everything seems to have some Ukraine about it these days. They certainly do get around. Is it my imagination, Darlene in Connecticut asks, or am I correct in getting the sense that Iran really does not want to go to war with us? CNN's top headline right now is that Iran shot down plane with surface-to-air missiles, with sub-headline, U.S. officials increasingly believe the country shot down the airline on accident. The plane was carrying 176 people, all dead, of course, among them 63 Canadians. Why am I getting the sense that the accidental shootdown of this plane is totally Trump's fault as well? The Iranians are so freaked out over the possibility of a war with the U.S. that they thought this plane was possibly the U.S. invading their airspace. Am I wrong here? What am I missing? This is a devastating result from Trump's toddler impulsiveness. I'm so upset. What a terrible, unnecessary waste of human life. And it is all of that, and it would not have happened but for the tantrum being thrown by a guy who was motivated by being infuriated, thanks to the heavy-handed, ham-fisted, yellow journalism, if you can dare even call it that, that's practiced over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Okay, all right, you're allowed at least one 200 proof snark comment an evening, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa saying, I think Iran should investigate the Bidens for that Ukrainian plane being shot out of the sky. Jesus, don't even whisper that lovingly into the ear of the universe, because Rudy Giuliani will be shrieking it from atop some dive bar in Washington or New York before you can even imagine it. Remember, damn it, Asa, we're out here in front of the curve. The shit you say now can happen in the past that hasn't happened yet because we're so far out in fucking front of it. Watch it. We have responsibilities here. Kyle with a note. Ah, carotene. Thanks, Dave. Thanks. Yeah, the orange hue. That's carotene. Of course it is. Thank you. That's why he's the carotene Caligula. Oh, thank you, Kyle. Kyle says, here's best wishes that everyone in the cast is healthy and that the performances go well. I have all the same hopes. And one of the things, that, you know, since there won't be any broadcast next week, I've talked about it. I think we're going to at least have a video record of it. And no, you do not get to see me prancing around a stage in tights. I've got fantastic legs. The rest of me, not so much. I got great legs, but they will not be on display in tights. So just stop it. Yes, melanin says, orange melanin is oompa loompanin. That's good. Yep. Steve's bringing his A game this evening. No evidence yet, says Flavio. An image has been widely circulated online by an Iranian activist showing the remains of what could be a Russian-made Tor M1 missile that he claimed was found near the plane's crash site, but there was no way to independently verify that the debris in the picture shows a missile or if it was taken in the debris field on Wednesday. That, according to The Guardian. The New York Times claimed it, but then again, the New York Times fell right. They fell for the aluminum tubes and the yellow cake. So not so much in the way of trusting the New York Times on this. You understand, I'm sure. Curiously, it was probably shot down with the same kind of missile that, you know, shot down an airliner over Ukraine. What was that, Malaysian Airlines? Back in 2014, apparently they work really good against unarmed civilian aircraft full of unarmed civilians. David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out he's looking for a Reichstag moment. All the things you guys get interested in. David pointing out it's Amway's tan in a can on Donald Trump. Jesus, tan. They really make that, don't they? Oh, dear. Hey, thank you very kindly to Kat in Ohio. We have we've now gotten down under the $500 mark. We're at $480 to finish or to come up even with the week. And all told, for the whole week now, that's $680 to finish through tomorrow. But, yeah, thank you very kindly, Kat. Much, much appreciated. James in Illinois says only Darth Drumpf. More on that non-evidence, this from Flavio again. Quoting USA Today, photographs purportedly taken near the site of the crash and circulated on social media appear to show the guidance section of an SA-15 Gauntlet short-range surface-to-air missile, which landed in a nearby garden. The firm IHS Markit said in its report, the firm said it could not confirm the authenticity of the photos, but assesses them to be credible. Okay. And speaking of all this, I had a note from Lady B. Why are the names of these countries so familiar? Yes, it's possible Iran accidentally shot down a Ukrainian plane while doing a retaliatory strike against U.S. forces on an Iraqi military base. But, and forgive me for being stupid, how in the world did these two countries, who both happen to be hot points of American political scrutiny, happen to be at the same cocktail party? How did your chocolate get in my peanut butter? How did your peanut butter get in my chocolate? I mean, how could those folks on that plane know Iran planned to strike back at Americans who happened to be in their neighboring country and that they would be in the way? And if they didn't know, who the fuck plans to fly out of a country at war days after they know shit just got real? Seriously, I've never been to the Ukraine or the Middle East. Does this particular confluence of events happen to be a perfectly plausible scenario, even down to the timing? No, not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. And I was thinking earlier today about that ancient phrase. I presume it's ancient. Probably it goes back at least to the Vietnam era, that truth is the first casualty of war. And honestly, I'm not saying this to be mean. This is just how an inquisitive mind works. Is there any reason to believe anybody on either side of this conflict? Look, if the United States, because remember, the United States does have a pre-existing history of shooting down Iranian passenger airliners full of innocent civilian unarmed human beings. We've done that in the past. So if we had done it, would we be admitting it? I mean, last I checked, slaughtering civilians is still a war crime. It didn't slow us down much during Iraq, but it's still the war. It's still a crime. And would some American general trot right out to the podium and say, yes, we did it with our little hatchet? Or in this case, or perhaps tomahawk? I somehow doubt it. So Lady B says, regardless, I wouldn't have wanted to lose a family member because they happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But God damn it, Bob, as just a regular old American, I want to know why this is going to affect us, and it will, and is, because it's a great excuse to want to start some major shit, and baby, that's exactly what's going down. Well, just go and look at Lockheed Martin's stock and a few other defense contractors and the like. If you notice that they're skyrocketing, see what I did there? Don't try this at home. Then you might have a bit of an answer. War is mighty, mighty, mighty good business. Compare favorably Eisenhower's farewell speech, also known as the military-industrial complex speech. Lady B continues and says, Russia is trying to reclaim the Ukraine. America is supposed to be helping Ukraine. America is currently investigating some political events that may involve Ukraine. We just killed a prominent Iranian military leader, and now a plane headed back to Ukraine from Iran was accidentally shot down by Iran. It may have totally been an accident on Iran's part. Oopsie. Although it would certainly explain why the damage at the bases was relatively light in comparison. You took out a few prominent bad guys. We'll take out 170 internationals. We even now, so we cool. But then there's this quote. The U.S. has already withdrawn some non-essential staff from its embassy in Baghdad, but in reality it has actually significantly expanded its military presence in the region, with paratroops, special forces, and Marines all deployed to Kuwait and elsewhere to be ready should the situation escalate. U.S. and Iran escalation questions answered. What can the world do? So, Bob and fellow Horn community members, help me if you can, says Lady B. How does all this work? Why are we doing this? And how many American soldiers will we lose trying to sort this out? Shit just makes me tired. And it's not like I don't care. Like Richard Linkletter says, to withdraw in disgust is not the same as apathy. I'm working too hard at this. It's easier to just stop giving a shit. But then again, I wouldn't get to enjoy your sparkling and witty conversation. Smiley face. Lady, I'm too pretty to age this fast. B. And yes, yes, you are. I have seen a photo. Why is this happening? Well, I think the easiest, simplest, and probably most accurate answer, if we apply Occam's razor and get a nice clean shave, is to note the fact that, well, the impeachment's out there. This is all about the impeachment. I mean, if you doubt me, and it's okay if you do, but we'll still have to deal with some of the weirder parts of it all. Now that we've got ourselves the first little inklings of a hot war. And by the way, Ron in Raleigh says civilian airliner shot down. What I want to know is where is the USS Vincennes now? Am I the only one that believes that Iran is the only rational actor in this hot mess? Maybe if we could keep our greasy hands out of everybody's business, shit wouldn't go so pear-shaped so fast all the time. Well, you can't call anything that any you cannot call any decision that is made by the hangers-on and dead-enders and hard cases in what remains of the Trump White House, because remember, everybody's acting. For just about everybody is acting. You know, there's an acting chief of staff, that's Mick Mulvaney, who feels himself to be immune to congressional subpoenas. I think we've got an actual real Secretary of Defense, but he's a real bootlick. So that. Something else I don't understand says Flavio, why would Iran shoot down a plane the majority of whose passengers were Iranian? Just curious. Well, there's a whole bunch of Canadians on it. You know how those Canadians can get. But no, I'm sure someone somewhere among the multimillionaires of the for-profit media is saying fog of war. Definitely fog of war. Slow in the driveway. Fog of war. And anybody who has ever taken off in a commercial jetliner, you know that generally speaking, the angle of ascent is significant because you want to get up as fast as possible and get out of the general traffic. I remember taking off out of Frankfurt back in 2012, and I think dude was having having his astronaut flashback moment. It was just a little commuter jet. It was only going to Amsterdam, and he was trying to get vertical. And it can get a little sketchy coming out of Atlanta too, because there's so much traffic out of it. So you do the straight up thing pretty much there as well. No sense wasting time down at low altitudes. Probably uses more fuel. But the angle of ascent, I guess, could also be mistaken on radar for an angle of descent. Or if it's just a blip that pops, or it's just a trigger happy member of the Revolutionary Guard. I mean, I'm not saying we done it. or hell, maybe our friends the Ruskies did it. Or it could just be simple, well, not simple, but it could just be incompetence there at, in air defenses, because they were scared to death that Nitwit Nero was going to send in the flying legions to try to kill some Iranian flour sellers and the pastry cart salespeople, and because that's who dies. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out there were 63 Canadians on that plane, but let's not forget that most, read all of those, are Iranian-born naturalized Canadians. Because, see, Canada being a sane country, people can go back and forth from Canada to Iran, unlike here where Iranian-Americans can't. And so they had probably been home to see loved ones. And now, not so much. Jesus, it's sickening. James in Illinois, airliner. No witnesses, no video of anti-aircraft rockets. This leaves mechanical failure or a bomb on board, but I'm open to suggestions. And I guess it was a 737 and not a 737 MAX, because the MAX 737 MAXs are presumably all grounded. Is that correct? What a mess. What a horror. According to a report on Majority Report, this is from Ron in Raleigh, a source reports that there was a backdoor contact with Qatar that set up this attack on the base that was similar to that phony baloney attack staged by Dolt 45. We'll just blow up a runway and call it Rawhide. That's kind of what, yeah. I mean, Jesus. The Iranians notified the Iraqis. They made sure that they weren't, the fear-mongering stories out of the American for-profit media were that Iran has fired missiles at Iraqi bases that housed American troops, making it sound like they were trying to hit the barracks or something. They didn't. Not even close. It was just a, well, I think a good term for it is that it was stylized. And David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out, those missile batteries are engineered, installed, and programmed by Russians. Boeing stock also up sharply after report of missile. Because good for business. Orthodox Christmas, David in South Carolina, Stan, points out, was on January 7th. Many people were there for that and returning home. You mean the Iranians let people celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Yeah, I mean, that's one thing to bear in mind. There has been a Jewish community in Iran since the Babylonian exile. I mean, that really did happen. And while some leave and immigrate away, oddly enough, it isn't nearly as bad what would happen to a Jewish person in, say, Saudi Arabia. Curiouser and curiouser, said Alice. Darlene noting, yeah, and it was Russian missiles used to shoot down the Ukrainian plane. Egads, goddess of irony's working overtime. Oh, yeah, yeah. But malfunctioning Boeing airplanes, Flavio says, that's so last year, Bob. I know. Damn. And again, I'm hoping the cat in Ohio can get some get some company as we take down the fundraising goal this evening. Again, Kat got us down to $480. Another $80 gets us down to where it was just we'd have both Monday and Tuesday covered with another $80, and then that would leave yesterday and today, and then tomorrow. So thank you, Kat. I hope you get some company real soon. No, earlier I said this is still all about impeachment, and probably the best proof in the pudding is the bizarreness that is Rudy Giuliani, who went on Twitter today. Wow, that's interesting. Matter of fact, says Brother Deacon Asa, the Jewish community in Iran is not even as bad as what would happen to a Jewish person at a synagogue in Pittsburgh. Ouch. True. True. Which, remember, some Israeli dead-enders and hard cases and hardcores, remember, they said the Tree of Life wasn't really a synagogue. I don't know if that means the people that the Nazis slaughtered there weren't really Jews. But it's worth, yeah. And Flavio points out there are Armenian Christians in Iran. They're even allowed to make their own wine for their own consumption and for liturgical purposes. Boy, that's some brutal damn regime. Missiles, says David in South Carolina. Stan, Malaysia plane was shot down with a Russian SA-11. This one was shot down with a Russian SA-15. Well, they're just, it's the new model, isn't it? Anyway, Rudy Giuliani on Twitter. You get the idea, he's gotten into the old Panther. If this impeachment is not declared illegal, it would remove the constitutional limitation of crimes on the power to impeach. It would allow the House to impeach policy differences or political leverage. It would prevent a future president to raise any challenge to the most illegal, overbroad subpoena from any of the multitude of congressional committees and subcommittees. Anytime Congress disagrees, it could charge abuse of power. You know, I've heard that once upon a time, Rudy Giuliani was a rather good lawyer. I think when he was the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, it was back during a time when, and appointed by a guy who was part of a massive, rather racist approach to the idea of enforcement of the federal criminal law, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, you know, it's here and there. Because I have no doubt that Rudy Giuliani is as racist as fuck. But Rudy wants this impeachment declared, and I'll use my scare quotes, illegal. And I don't know exactly. Billable Rick, Steve in New York, lawyerly types. Does that even mean? What, Edith, huh? If this impeachment is not declared illegal, it would remove the constitutional limitation of crimes on the power to impeach. That is just barely squeaking under the wire an actual sentence in the English language. If you've, and I'm sure you have, gone and read the articles of impeachment, you'll notice there's not an article of impeachment that says we have policy differences with Donald J. Trump. J stands for Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. He's been impeached for his high crimes and misdemeanors. Had the House chosen to, they probably could have issued a 100-count indictment or a 100-count bill of impeachment, because it is that bad. but we didn't touch emoluments and we didn't really touch the subpoenas. That stuff is all coming later. But Rudy, old three Bloody Marys at 8 o'clock in the morning, Rudy. They make a, you know what, here in the Shoals, they make a fandamtastic Bloody Mary at a place on Court Street. It's been there, I guess, a couple of years now, called Big Bad Breakfast. It's the same place that has the awesome tomato gravy. Wow, that stuff's good. Well, that's neither here nor there. I had it without the vodka in it, but yum. Oh, their Bloody Mary mix is to die for. They also do something called a breakfast margarita. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a mimosa. It's champagne and orange juice, but they throw in some tequila and some margarita mix. Whoa. I only mention that because I'm sure Rudy's never been here, but if he was here, he'd probably be right there when the doors open at 7 o'clock with maybe bringing his own little, you know, sustainability straw, like the stainless steel one I got here in my water bottle. Little boogers are tough to clean out, though. You can, a little tiny brush, and you know, work it in there like when you Bloody Mary mix. Blew. I don't know if you can put those in the dishwasher or not. So Rudy is back to orbiting his own private planet. And since this is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we take note of the really ouchy kind of right-wing thinking, it's time to check in again with Elise Stefanik. Yeah, you remember Elise, the woman who's not actually from the district in New York she claims to represent, but uses her parents' vacation home as her address. Well, she too went to social media today and thanked, I think sarcastically, the Washington Post for promoting and advertising her donation page, in which she urged Nancy Pelosi to stop her political games with beautiful black and white photography. What it was, though, was not black and white. One, Elise is not that sharp. It is a manipulation of a photo of Nancy Pelosi just to make her look scary and ugly. And it's trashy. Pixelated. The term, I think, is pixelated. The photo was pixelated in an attempt to somehow, I guess, malign Nancy Pelosi. God, Nancy Pelosi could buy Elise Stefanik for what she thinks she's worth and sell her for what she actually is and never worry about the loss. Yes, Ralphs, yes, tomato gravy. Ralphs says, I just looked it up. Interesting. Oh, it's delicious. It is. I'd never had it until I went there. And I mean, fantastic. I haven't been there for breakfast in probably 3-4 weeks now. And yeah, it's some kind of fantastic. Oh, and by the way, if Iran is so crazy, how come it is they're inviting the United States National Transportation Safety Board, which is admittedly one of the world's best crash investigators, to participate in the investigation of the crash of the Ukrainian airliner? How about that? Well, they're just trying to come. They're just going to take them hostage. That's all they're going to do, that because they're crazy. Meanwhile, via Shorty in L.A., here it is. Interview with Iran's civil aviation chief about the Ukrainian plane. Iran's civil aviation chief dismisses reports of Ukrainian plane being hit by missiles. Iran's civil aviation chief has rejected as illogical rumors reports that the Ukrainian plane that crashed south of the capital, Tehran, was hit by missiles. His name is Ali Abedzadeh. Made the remarks in an exclusive interview with Press TV, the Iranian journalism outlet, today, saying from a scientific viewpoint, it is impossible that a missile hit the Ukrainian plane. The plane caught fire 3 minutes into the flight, according to what the witnesses have reported, and the data collected from the parts of the airplane. The pilot tried to return the airplane at the altitude of 8,000 feet, but due to the fire, the airplane crashed and exploded. We can say that the airplane, considering the kind of the crash and the pilot's efforts to return it to Imam Khomeini Airport, didn't explode in the air, so the allegation that it was hit by missiles is totally ruled out. Now, that's rather interesting in light of the fact that the New York Times claims that it has viewed credible video footage of a missile striking the aircraft. Gosh, I mean, would the New York Times ever participate in helping to gin up an illegal war? I mean, the New York Times would never do that, would they? Except, you know, the times that they, well, did. I mean, I haven't forgotten the Judy Miller show, and I'm not talking about the charming little skit that Gilda Radner did back in the early days of Saturday Night Live. No, I'm talking about the Judy Miller show back when she was Count Dicula's personal stenographer, pumping out lie after lie after lie after lie in support of the Iraq War, and never challenging worth a tinker's damn any of the assertions made. So I don't know. We got an Iranian civil aviation chief saying, no, we don't think it was a missile. And we got the New York Times saying, oh, we've seen video of a missile. You pick. But I'm having a hard time figuring out. Well, I don't like, especially in this era, I don't like relying on something as nebulous as hope. Because, well, you know the old saying about in one hand and hope in the other and see which one fills up first. I keep seeing these remarks that, our generals would, if Trump ordered like missiles to, he wanted to, if Trump wanted to hit the precious, irreplaceable, priceless ruins of Persepolis in Iran, the generals wouldn't do that if he ordered them to. Says fucking who? All those guys know how to do is snap salutes and say hoo-ah and yes, sir. It's kind of like the Saturday Night Massacre under the Nixon administration. He fired a couple of guys, but eventually he got down to Robert Bork, who said, okay, I'll do it. That's our problem in here in the final decade or the final year of the second decade of the 21st century. There's always some climber. There's always some lickspittle, some bootlick, some toady who's willing to say, yes, sir, I'll press the button for you, sir. You know, one of the we have now what we think is a more enlightened view of culture. We have what we hope is a view of culture that takes in our shared common humanity, so that we while precious cultural relics may belong to a certain people. I think, for instance, of the ruins in Cambodia of Angkor Wat. Or to bring it a little closer home, the massive city that held tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people at Cahokia, Illinois. And while they come from specific cultures, we recognize that they are part of the cultural legacy of the efforts of we human beings living on this little, sweet little blue-green marbled time machine that's hurtling in a helical fashion around the sun and through the universe. And that when we lose these treasures, it is not merely the cultures to which they belong that lose them, but it is a loss for all of us as humanity. I remember sitting on a train in Germany as a man from Cameroon described to me how he was quietly bringing precious cultural artifacts out of his country to sell, I guess, on the black market in Europe. And explaining that that was the only way he had of feeding his family back in Cameroon. I remember buying him a cup of tea and sharing and talking it on the train. That intensely civilized train that was running between Brussels and Frankfurt, and wondering, you know, where those little artifacts would wind up. And so we think we have this, and even the military itself has rules and regulations against destroying culture, beautiful, magnificent, cultural, priceless sites. You know, the Taliban, not so much, so they blew up the Buddhas. ISIS, not so much, so they destroyed Palmyra, magnificent Palmyra in Syria. But we're supposed to be civilized, and we're not supposed to do that anymore. On the other hand then, however, you know, back in 2003 when we illegally attacked the innocent people of Iraq and slaughtered a million non-combatants. There was that little moment when we sent all the troops to guard the oil ministry and didn't leave anybody at all at the Ministry of Antiquities. And so the Ministry of Antiquities got the fuck looted out of it. And magnificent, precious, irreplaceable cuneiform tablets. You know, hard-baked clay tablets that had the very first forms of writing incised into them when they were wet with a cut reed that made these sort of triangular shapes that became the first kind of writing. They just got thrown around. And you know what happens to clay tablets when you throw them on a concrete floor? They stop being clay tablets and they go back to being the dust from which they were made. Yes. Oopsie. Or then there was the damage done to Babylon when we decided to park tanks there. Or the Marine who, misspelling it, spray painted Semper Fi on the walls near the Ishtar Gate in Babylon. Yeah, we did those things. And so I am not filled, one, with confidence that Nitwit Nero will remain anything resembling consistent and not order the destruction of something precious. Like I said, we think we've got a better attitude about it, a better understanding now. When Alexander of Macedon, that barbarian, and he was,
when he was marching through what was then Persia, he completely trashed, destroyed, burned down to the ground a Persian city called Susa. But we like to think we wouldn't do that anymore. But I'm mortally afraid that there's some guy, some woman out there who would be perfectly happy to render Persepolis to dust if he or she thought they could get a promotion out of it. Turn in the bird in favor of the star. Because all that jewelry is so important. Going back to Rudy Giuliani, James in Illinois says, consider his client is President McCrazy Pants, and the jury is made up of the worst rowing team in the world, all manning oars on the starboard side. They're rowing for all they're worth, but going in circles. That is a fantastic analogy and worthy of a cowbell. David in South Carolina, Stan. Trudeau speaks fluent English and French. USA president cannot even speak English. Well, there's that. Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. I so badly want to believe the plane wasn't shot down because I know the consequences that could mean, but using the Occam's razor theory, I can't come to any other conclusion. I'm very worried. Yeah, I'm having a hard time stopping being worried. Aren't you? And that's what, you know, that's what this community, is for. We will keep each other from going stark raving, barking mad with all that's going on around us. Well, there it is. It has happened. The House of Representatives has just voted in the majority to compel Nitwit Nero to go to the Congress before he takes another single any whatsoever military act against Iran. Unlike the bill of impeachment, it's headed straight over to the Senate, where they will, one hopes, act on it, but one cannot be sure, since after all, the Senate is controlled by none other than Moscow Mitch McConnell, whom I would not trust with the carcass of a runover skunk. I hesitate to even think about what he might do with such a skunk. So we have entered the second hour of the program, and remember, the program's only 2 hours tonight and tomorrow night because of rehearsals, and we're trying to trim the runtime, and everybody's getting the tech stuff and the lights and the props and the sets and all of that, and this is that part of the process where you're bringing it all together, and we're trying to trim it down so that, you know, the play doesn't run 3 freaking hours. It has no business running 3 hours. It should be no more than 2. So we've got a little more time in the program, but it sure would be nice if Kat had some company to help take the fundraising goal down from the $480 where she put it. So anybody that would like to help, please feel free to go over to the contribute tab at headon.live. and act accordingly. Remember that $10 a month subscription is not quite an entire pack of gum every 2 days. That's what you're depriving yourself of in supporting independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting. As appears to be fairly obvious, there is no end to the heady and potentially terrifying news of the day. But it's thorn in the side Thursday, so we have to take into account all manner of thinking from the right white wing. And so I want to take a moment just to remind folks, the community, myself, let's remember that Nitwit Nero is not the only one who is still obsessed with Barack Obama to the point of unhealthiness. I don't think we've ever talked about her, because if we had, I would remember the name. Francine Fosdick. Wasn't that a comic book character or a radio show? Fearless Fosdick? Or was it from one of the Marvin Martian shorts where Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century had gone in search of Elodium Fosdick, the shaving cream molecule on Planet X? Well, no. Francine Fosdick. I'm sorry. I've got a juvenile sense of humor. There's nothing to be done about it. Francine Fosdick hosts something called Upfront in the Prophetic. Upfront in the Prophetic. It's a radio show of some sort that has, and maybe we need to look into these. They have shows where there's a prayer call. You can tell, for those of you watching the video, you can tell from the look on my face. I just think this is this is delightful. So they had him a prayer call last month, and intercessors, I guess, called into the program to specifically pray for stuff. And that's when they took a call from an intercessor, and Francine Fosdick, the shaving cream molecule, turned things over to someone identifying him or herself only as Jamie. And Jamie took to praying. Now, this is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I didn't get to it last night, but this is too good just to run on by, because as it says in the song, I wait all night for calls like these. God, if I could keep my shit together and figure out some way to do some kind of deep fake religious broadcast. Oh, the fun I could have. But it's the keep my shit together part that would be my undoing, because I would have to start giggling. I would be helpless not to giggle if something like this happened. Oh, for the love of all that's sacred, for the dearness of all that's holy, get the hockey puck. Get a couple of strips of duct tape ready. Because we've got Francine Fosdick and the intercessor, Jamie. That's about all the setup I'm going to do, except to say, remember, Nitwit Nero is not the only one who is still obsessed with the Obamas.
But I'm asking you, Father, that the general public would see all of the stealing and all of the dirty things that Obama has been involved in. And even how did he get this $15 million home in Martha's Vineyard? Father, I'm thanking you that every bit of money laundering, every bit of that he's involved with child trafficking, all of that would be exposed. And I'm asking you, Father, that as FISA is being exposed, that Pfizer was a cover-up for Hammer, and Hammer was what Obama used. That was the system that Obama used to the spying on President Trump and Supreme Court justices and other people. And then they did Pfizer to cover up Hammer. Bob, I'm asking you, I'm believing that all of Pfizer is being exposed, but I'm asking you that if people would even see that it's...
If
you've got a pretty good idea now where we're headed, don't you?
If you're the almighty creator of the universe, and you've got all these prayers coming in to you constantly. I mean, you've got mothers with starving infants saying, Almighty, please send food. You've got parents huddling over sick children in hospital saying, Dear God, make the cancer go away. You've got ninth graders who got high last night instead of studying algebra and are now faced with the quadratic equation saying, Dear God, please let me remember how to do this. You've got wide receivers saying, Dear God, help me catch the ball on that crossing route. You've got offensemen in hockey saying, Dear God, please guide this puck into the net. You've got basketball players saying, Dear God, please let me get a triple-double tonight. And somehow it's always the starving kid or the sick child who goes begging. And it's the wide receiver who stands in the end zone and crosses himself or kisses his fingers and points up to the Lord in the sky. You got all of that going on, and then all of a sudden, sir, we've got an important prayer coming in from Francine Fosdick.
Francine Fosdick, why didn't you say so?
Yes, sir. She's praying real hard about a bunch of stuff that it didn't happen, sir.
Oh, me, damn it. One of those again?
I'm afraid so, sir. Your magnificence, she wants to know how Barack Obama afforded a $15 million home on Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, great me a-mighty. Does this never end?
Sorry, wait, we just got another, there's another kid with cancer down there and their parents are crying and praying. Oh, fuck them.
Whoa, did you see that catch? Man. Good thing I had his agent put that extra clause in about, making the Pro Bowl.
Sir, I'm trying to talk to you, sir. I know. Yeah,
Francine Fosdick,
right? Well, sir, she's got something else she wants to do. She wants you to do it. She's got something else.
Oh, all right, put it on the blower.
Started before that, and that the Hammer was a surveillance program too, and that Obama did that all illegally. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And Father, I thank you for exposing all of the corrupt book deals, not only Obama's, but Joe Biden's, Michelle. And speaking of Michelle, I don't know if you've seen this, but today ABC just had an article saying...
Yeah. Check ABC there, would you, Smithers? Let's see what it is they're saying. Sir, I think you just better listen to the rest of the prayer, please.
that she's been named the most admired woman in the world for the second year in a row. But I'm asking you that whatever plan they have to have Michelle or Hillary run for president, we call that canceled in Jesus' name. And I'm asking you, Father, that the true identity of Michelle Michael would be exposed. The true identity. Father, I'm asking you that that whole family and that those children, they're not their children, and that they're children of Obama's best friend. Father, we ask you that that whole lie would be exposed for the everyday person to see it in Jesus' name. But I'm asking.
Really, Smithers? You brought that to me? Well, sir, you told me you're not much interested in all the prayers about the sick children. It gets depressing after a while. Father, please. Michael Obama. And Sasha and Malia aren't even, you know, they're kids. They belong to. Wait, isn't that an old Cars song? His best friend's children. His best friend's children. I don't know. I don't think I got that in me, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa asking, could we please revisit this exact same God sketch, only with Trump's voice as God? Lord knows I don't ask for much. Well, we almost had a problem at rehearsal the other night because there are some lines. Well, I just started imagining this play if it was it, because it's a play about a guy and his wife, a king and his wife, and he's got three sons, and then there's a young girl that he's having an affair with, and it just works out. So, you know, like Trump and melanoma and Don Jr. and Eric and little Boron and Ivanka. And I started doing some of Henry's lines in my Trump voice, and chaos ensued. Yeah. That's true. David in South Carolina Stan points out, Dabo Swinney says, God's on their side at Clemson. David adds, fuck them and him. Well, that's fine if you want to, but I wouldn't. As to cultural artifacts, Ron in Raleigh says, you have to understand that to the average white American, no one's precious artifacts mean jack shit. We've destroyed sacred burial grounds and petroglyphs. Our country is only 244 years old, so all that stuff is just a bunch of old shit. Ah, okay, thank you. Ron points out, Fearless Fosdick was in Dick Tracy and in Marvin the Martian. Elodium Fosdick, the shaving cream molecule. I do believe on, yes. Hold on a minute, says Steve in New York. How could Michelle Obama be the most admired woman when she is clearly a man named Michael? Well, see, that's why they're praying there for the scales to fall away from the... Oh, my God, I can't stand it. Elbert in Rhode Island says it was Duck Dodgers in the 29th and a half century. That cartoon was a satire about the stupidity of using nuclear weapons. Huh. I guess I never got that message. I just thought it was funny. You know, when Daffy pulls the trigger on his disintegrating pistol and his pistol disintegrates. Kyle in Kentucky, Stan, LOL, Jamie literally accused Obama of what Trump did. Jamie knows Trump is guilty of crimes, therefore it's the Black Kenyan Muslims' fault. Well, Bob, continues Kyle, thanks for reaffirming that Jesus plays a play in sports. Now, I don't feel so bad about my other favorite college team, Xavier. Yeah, it's a Jesuit school, but family ties. Losing last night because Jesus apparently is a Seton Hall fan. We can't compete with that. And adds, I mean, absolutely no offense to trans people, as I'm a member of the LGBTQ community myself. But I have to wonder whether Jamie is dealing with gender identity issues, because often those are the people that accuse others of things that they don't want to accept about themselves. I know,
because I used to do it. Ooh. You know, it's hard to say something like that, but thank you for that, Kyle. You know how Flavio says, you know how you give a speech better if you imagine your audience naked? Don't start imagining Henry II in Trump voice or you won't make it through rehearsal. You'll fuck it up in the opening. No, I haven't done it anymore. I haven't done it anymore. No. The real challenge is not hearing Peter O'Toole in my head and trying to make those trying to make the lines my own. Because that's one of the problems that comes when you've got a little bit of the minor bird gene and you can do bad impressions. Not just of Donald Trump, you see. So well along into the second hour of the program. I'm sorry, I know that was a diversion, but I've been sitting on that for a while. I mean, it's you got to share that stuff. Oh, well, now Flavio's getting in on the prayer game. Dear God, the Seahawks play the Packers at Lambeau this Sunday. May the Packers not fuck up. No, I think you're doing it wrong, Flavio. You're supposed to pray that the Seahawks do fuck up. That makes it imprecatory prayer. It's the imprecatory intercessory quality of the prayer. You know, dear God, please let them drop all their passes. Right? All right, let's run over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy, what's up?
What the fuck?
I take it you heard Jamie a minute ago, did you? Breathe. Now, you're the one all the time sending me messages saying, breathe. You breathe.
I don't usually start off with what the fuck.
Words, Tracy's. Words, Tracy. Words.
Words. Okay. What is with white people? I mean, are they really that obsessed with people that look like, you know that have a lot of melanin, that they are just that not happy that we have the man has a little money in the bank, that, you know, so she's mad about the book deal. She's mad that, you know, people like Michelle Obama because, you know, she's intelligent. She's a thoughtful woman. She, you know, people actually like her. She's intelligent. She went to an Ivy League university. She, you know, rose above, you know, against the odds, you know, put up with 8 years of bullshit. The fact of the matter that if she decided to run for president, that she would probably, you know, get the Democratic nomination hands down. That part?
Well, there's some of that, yes.
But she's not stupid. She's like, fuck all y'all. Y'all don't deserve me. This country does not deserve Michelle Obama as president. We don't deserve her. I do. I deserve her. The Horn family deserves her as president. The rest of the country does not.
Well, you gotta understand, Tracy. Part of what animates this is the fact that they know that the most that they can say about the first lady in the White House now is that
she's a hooker.
Is that she is hell on wheels when it comes to taking her clothes off for strangers.
Yeah, she could do that. She a hoe. And well, I don't like to say, you know, okay. Because see, I've done things for money, you know, by any means necessary.
I understand.
I have spanked white men's asses. Because, yeah, for money. And it gave me perverse pleasure to do.
Well, you know, there's probably a lot of eye bleach being applied out there. But, you know, you do you, Tracy.
It took out a lot of frustration. I mean, come on, my riding crop was in the shape of the, you know, it was the Black Power sign. Come on now.
I mean,
was fucking awesome.
If only I had known 16 and a half years ago when I started into this, what I'd wind up talking about. Oh, my God, a riding crop with the black. You're talking like with the fist and shit? You know, the...
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was the fist.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Well,
of course it was. Come on.
How could it
you
not be?
How could it not be? How could it fucking not be? You know?
Yep.
Come on, now. I would have had an afro.
Yeah, James in Illinois says, but Tracy, if people only knew the truth about the Obamas.
Right. The truth of these women, you know, that the kids aren't really theirs and yada, yada. Oh, my God. I mean, what is the truth that they're, you know, that...
No, Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, born in Indonesia.
Right. Well, that Barack Obama
was probably one of the most intelligent,
he was probably one of the most intelligent and presidents that we ever had. I mean, I am no Barack Obama apologist.
No, not me either. I mean, but this is look. This is just. This is just 200 proof for First Amendment protected, tax exempt religious insanity. Because that's the other part of it. This is where we queue up the Wednesday. You know, we run that little audio clip, and then we hear the preacher from the Wednesday night him saying, "And it's all tax free. Hallelujah."
And it's all tax free. Hallelujah. You know, and it just pisses me the entire, and here I'm going to say it, just for Scott, if you're listening, what the entire fuck? This is my first in what the entire fuck for 2020.
It is indeed.
I haven't said this for a while. What the entire fuck? You know, and it's just, it is exhausting, like Lady B said, because it's like,
I know.
Why? It's just ad nauseum because they keep going on and on with the bullshit. And see, I don't have the vocabulary that you and Lady B have, so I can only come up with a few words. But it exhausts me.
But you know, you're an athlete now, so you're not going to hurt yourself if you just jump up and down and stomp really hard every time you land, yelling, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, exactly.
Flavio wants you to know that. Tell Tracy I'm busting at the seams, laughing. And meanwhile, Jimmy out in the Great Northwest says, in all seriousness, Bob, the Obamas came from Pluto. Well, that makes perfect sense because we can't even agree if Pluto's a goddamn planet anymore.
It's a planet, you know, so, you know, that makes sense because, you know, if they came from a planet, it would be Pluto because since they're black, you know, we don't even get a real planet. Because black people.
Well, I mean, you know, if February's coming up, Black History Month, shortest month of the year.
Black History Month, shortest month of the year. If there was going to be a planet that black people came from, it would be Pluto because it's not a planet. So we would get the short end of the deal because Pluto and black folks. So February, yeah. So. It makes sense.
So are you telling me that Pluto is the 40 acres and a mule planet?
How does
this radio program get to be this way? Jesus Christ.
Because me and Lady B and Todd and Shorty and Sandra. Because it's us. You know, we keep it real. We bring in the melanin content so we remind the white folks, hey, this is why why things like this happen.
Well, and we need that perspective because, you know, this is the darkest part of me, all right? I'm doing the video. Right. I mean, that's as dark as it gets.
That's as dark as it gets. I mean...
And you don't, I mean, also, the pinker parts of me, well, wow, the horror.
Wait a minute. Do we have a Hispanic part of our family?
Oh, yeah, we've got Hispanic members of the community. Absolutely.
But do they call in? That's what I meant.
We have heard from the South Asian contingent because Suman chimes in every now and then.
Suman, yes. And Tim from LA, it's been a while since I've heard from him.
Yeah, Tim has covered the East Asian beat.
The East Asian beat.
Although he's white, Terry has chimed in from Saigon.
True.
Ho Chi Minh City. Sorry.
So yeah, I need the, you know, I was, because it's like I would love, you know, somebody from, especially, you know, considering, especially now, you know, that because, you know, we're trying to build out here in Arleta. They're trying to build our very own brand new shiny detention center in Arleta, which, you know, for those of you guys who don't know, Arleta is a heavily populated Latinx part of the valley. And we ain't having it. And when I say we, I mean they're protesting. And I guess, like, when I heard about that, I was like, what the fuck are you talking? You're really going to try to build a detention center in a Latinx part of our city? That's some bullshit.
An idea. How about no concentration camps in any part of your fair city?
That part.
I mean,
considering that this is a sanctuary city. How about that?
Yeah.
That part. You know, but on a happy note, there's that. But then in the same news report, right after they announced that, they did announce that they were building, opening a Smart and Final in Watts, Smart and Final is a grocery store chain. They used to just be a wholesale grocery store, just for like restaurants and businesses and stuff. And then they're open to the public. They used to be members only, but now anybody can shop there. And they used to only be bulk, but now they still sell stuff in bulk, but they also sell, individual size groceries as well, but at very reasonable prices. And they opened one yesterday in Watts. And it's the first time they haven't had a Smart and Final in Watts in almost since the uprising in 92. So it's been almost 30 years. And it's, you know.
Time out. I got to interrupt. Because you're getting called out.
Uh-oh. What did I do now?
I got a note from Ron in Raleigh.
Uh-oh, shit. Ron in Raleigh, because he's like, bitch, what?
Yep.
Subject
line, wait a minute. So, Ron in Raleigh gets no love from Tracy. I've been black longer than all those folks mentioned. My family escutcheon has been besmirched.
I was like, yeah, so I knew I was going to get called out. I got a bitch what? I'm sorry. My bad. Homie, love you. Kisses me. Love you.
Okay. All better now, I hope. And Flavio pointing out, I'm your Brazilian fan. Doesn't that count? I didn't know we had that many. Do you know how many there is in a Brazilian, Tracy? That's the old Bush joke, but black? I can't resist it.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't see. I get called out. See, again. And
oh, hey, suffer quietly. It happens to me constantly.
In my defense, I have said this on numerous occasions. I have the retention of a special needs gnat.
Yeah.
I know.
So, if I have ever left anybody out, it is not by design. It is because I can't remember.
It's because that brain cell just gave up and said, fuck it.
Fuck it. It's like, you know. It's like, remember, what was it?
Daniel Day-Lewis, at the end of There Will Be Blood. That one brain cell just going, done now.
Done now. You know, the fact that I remember, and just in case, so Reggie doesn't call in and get mad at me, Reggie as well, okay? And Laurel, I mean, not Laurel, who else? Anybody else that's black? Or anybody that has at least a drop, you know, the 1/16th rule.
Anyone even marginally darker than Bob. How about that?
Okay, that part. Anybody cannot pass the paper bag test, darker than the paper bag, I love you. You my peeps, okay? Anybody that great, 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 great grandpa, you know, anybody that had a Negro in the woodpile, that part, anybody that would be considered black by, you know, anybody that was,
you know, I keep threatening that one of these days I'm going to do one of those DNA tests, and I'm telling you, if I've got if it comes back that there is even one little hunk of DNA from Ghana or somewhere like that, I'm going to start wearing fucking,
gonna be a party?
No, I'm going to start wearing fucking dashiki. I don't know if I got enough hair. I don't know if I got enough hair to get a pick in it, but you know, I'll try.
Hey. So.
Oh, and Todd, by the way, has chimed in from South Carolina saying, go, Tracy, exercise your besmirchedness.
So I told you the other day, as of Sunday, I did my ninth 5K. And I, you know, back in July when I started this journey of doing 5Ks, my first 5K, I did it in 1 hour and 9 minutes. As of Sunday, I did it in 54 minutes. So I have collectively shaved off 15 minutes.
Jeez.
Off of my 5K.
You're amazing.
Off my 5K.
You're amazing.
The only issue is, by the way, I don't have turf toe.
Turf toe. Turf. I'm glad because turf toe is slow to heal.
Yeah, but it's not turf toe. What it is, and it's not, it's, I didn't break a toe. I did not break my toe because I have pain in both toes. And they don't think it's a stress fracture, but I am having an MRI tomorrow. The good news is my toes don't hurt as badly as they did the other day. It's still pain. Actually, ibuprofen is helping. I actually swam yesterday, and I think that kind of helped. I've been soaking them, my feet, in Epsom salt, and that's helping as well. I'm going for an MRI tomorrow, and I have a follow-up appointment on Wednesday with my orthopedic surgeon. But the funny part is, and I'm actually excited about this. I have a fucking sport injury, which means...
I know. I have this fantasy sports center that runs in the back of my brain. And we have the report on Tracy's toe. It's not turf toe. That's that's a good thing. But still, she's listed on the depth chart as day-to-day.
That is a day-to-day. But,
oh, yeah. And I got a couple more. Les out there. Les, who's on the road between New York and the South constantly. Hey, what about me, Tracy? LOL. And any minute now, I'm going to get shit from Hung Like Jesus. So, you know, you got to be careful with that call.
I'm treading on dangerous ground here. Okay. Again. And if Hung Like Jesus, motherfucker, I ain't heard you from your ass in the
house. And I just had a check in from the Facebook group. Nagla just checked in and said Brown, and yes, indeed. I mean, check it out. No, you're gonna dig this. We have just had a check in from the Egyptian horn community.
I just call us the ruckus.
And you got a note from Lady B, of course. Because it's like call, you know, with you two, it's like call and response. too funny, Lady B writes. Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century, and that chick praying to God to help folks see shit that simply isn't there is priceless. God only answered. I'm gonna give the preemptive cowbell for this one. God only answers the prayers of football coaches in small Texas towns, darling. It ain't his fault Ethiopians will turn down a pork chop. They say. Fuck me dead. They say we covet that which we desire. Let's get her a prison. We're talking about Jamie there, back there with the intercessory prayer. They say we covet that which we desire. Let's get her a prison, brother, who can deliver the D. She'll be talking with a black scent and pushing for prison reform in no time.
And Lady B and I are on the same wavelength. Between her and Lindsey Graham, I've always said, the reason why they are so in thing about the way they go on and on about black people and black men in general is because they want black dick. They want it. They crave it.
They heard about it all their lives.
And they want a taste. And the other one, you know who else wants it? Nazi Barbie. What's that bitch?
White supremacy Barbie. Tommy Lauren. Sure.
Tommy Lauren. Oh.
Well, I mean, she went after Trevor Noah. I mean, that's fact.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Oh, hey. Yes. We got tonight is apparently ethnic check-in night on the horn. Our buddy, the angry architect and Australian, subject line, represent, half white Australian, half Fijian Indian, born in Canada, now living in smoke in Canberra, Australia, Brown. What? Thanks.
All my melanin brothers and sisters checking in. Hey, represent.
I think it's beautiful. All of this, and me sitting here in my glow in the dark pinkness, I am so honored, I am so thrilled. And by the way,
because this is, we love you.
Oh, and I love y'all. I do. I love y'all to pieces.
I can imagine, and I know, because even though I have given you. An honorary invitation to the cookout. And
that's
I will
right.
never rescind that, but I know everybody else.
I keep it in my wallet, Lady, you know.
You know, at Lady B, Todd and I, and all the black folks, the black folks, and I'm not taking it away from anybody else, I cannot imagine that there's anybody that is, you know, me and all the other black folks in this group would disagree with me, that you would be allowed to the cookout. And I can't imagine because, see, there's people that have invited other people, white folks, to the cookout. And I'm like, no. These people cannot come to the cookout. I don't give a fuck what y'all say. But you, my brother, you.
I am deeply honored. And that does extend to Agnes, doesn't it?
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, no. Agnes is my sister from another mister.
Right. Exactly.
Agnes and I have had conversations. Agnes and I, the only difference between Agnes and I is that she's just white.
Oh, God, you're going to love this. Kyle in Kentucky, Stan says, ha, 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 damn it, Tracy and Lady B, both of you are responsible for this mess I made trying to drink a glass of water. Spit takes in Kentucky. Ron in Raleigh says, Tracy is invited to the next Krispy Kreme 5K. Let's see how fast she is with a dozen Krispy Kremes in her.
oh, my God. The other day, as a matter of fact, yesterday, I had finished my swim workout yesterday. We started at a new pool in Glendale. I've never swam in salt water. It's a salt water pool. And so on my way, you know, I did my workout, and I just couldn't get my groove on. I don't know if it's the salt water. I was just not feeling the swim yesterday. And I'm driving through Burbank, and there's a Krispy Kreme in Burbank. Do you know how hard it was for me not to
you
get
felt
off
like
the freeway?
You felt like a moth in front of a goddamn bug zapper.
I can't help it.
It's so beautiful.
My car was actually fighting me to get off the fucking freeway to go to the motherfucking Krispy Kreme. Are you serious? Is such a thing?
Well,
as
see,
no,
I get it. I get it because there's one of those down here, and if I'm ever anywhere, and it's one of the busiest intersections in town, and you can tell that there's a phenomenon associated with that intersection and that Krispy Kreme, because people drive erratically and slow down for no other reason than they're just trying to peer around the corner and see if the hot now light is on. That's how, daggummit. This is a thing lately. Skype crashes all the damn time. That annoys me. A note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Michelle is a true Renaissance woman. Tracy's right. We don't deserve her. Not only is Michelle too intelligent, but she's too psychologically healthy to want to be president. She knows from firsthand experience what her family went through when Barack was pres. She certainly knows how to use punctuation with her Let's Move initiative. Michelle would never leave a soul hanging. Whereas Melanoma has her be best. No punctuation. Yeah, Melanoma leaves you hanging. You know, I really don't care. Do you? Oops, guess she used punctuation there. Figures. Yeah. All right, this is just annoying the hell out of me. Sitting here clicking answer, answer, answer. And I'm going exactly nowhere. Trying to click. There, maybe I finally got her. Are you back, Tracy? I'm sorry, that was on me.
I was like, did I say something? Was it?
No. For some reason or another, this is the machine that I had to reload and everything, and I cannot stay. It just dumps Skype for no apparent reason. So you know, there's that.
Fucking Microsoft.
I know.
It's like when Google takes over shit. It's like really, but no, it's the same thing was happening out here. They opened a Chick-fil-A in Encino at the possibly the worst intersection by my house.
Pray God, no. I know, and you know, it's like the Chick-fil-A's in the South. It's like the lines into them are like the lines into the Vatican on a holy day. but I'm serious. Pray. If you pray that you never get a chicken salad chick. That the line around that place is putting Chick-fil-A to shame.
A chicken salad. Oh, the place that you were telling me about.
Yeah, chicken salad chick. And I mean, it is the girliest fast food restaurant ever. And I don't use that, you know, that's not a gender slur or anything, but you know, you walk in the place and it is just girly. The decor, the paint, the silhouette of the girl in the skirt with her little purse hanging on her arm and everything. And we're going to get some chicken salad because apparently women in the South go bananas for chicken salad. And you know, they got like 15 different flavors. They got pimento cheese. And it's
like, I hate pimento cheese. I'm sorry.
It is like a fucking pilgrimage.
Oh, guess what?
And they open at 8 in the morning and they close at 8 at night. And the line around the building is never empty.
Guess what I had, Bob? Speaking of chicken.
Yes.
I finally had a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
No.
Yes.
Is it as awesome as they say?
Yes, Bob, it was.
Oh, dear.
As a matter of fact, I had it on Monday. You were on the air, and it took everything I had not to send you a picture. I couldn't send you a picture of it.
All right, all right. That's it. I think there's a decent chance Popeye's will be open when I'm done with rehearsal. I may swing past there and see if I can get one.
Dude, honey bunny, let me tell you something. Because I'm not a huge, okay, on top of the fact, not a huge Popeye chicken fan. So this is coming from somebody who's not a huge fan of Popeye's chicken. That part.
You know me. I do get worked up about their chicken livers.
That's what I'm telling you. So this is coming from somebody who's not a huge fan. You know, I'll eat Popeye's. Cause see, when I was growing up, we used to eat Popeye's chicken all the motherfucking time. So I kind of got tired of Popeye's fucking chicken.
I didn't know the chain was that old.
Oh shit! No, Popeye's chicken.
Now, I mean, that's not me saying you're old. I just didn't know it had been around.
Thank you for letting
that one slide. I didn't properly process that one before it got out.
I know you didn't. I'm like, motherfucker, just call me old.
Yeah, I know. You'd have hit me with a purse. If I was in direct physical presence, I would have been hit with the purse.
Yes. And see, I have a bit of lesbian long enough to stop carrying my purse. That part.
And it's got heavy shit like Audi candy in the bottom of it and stuff.
Yes. Okay. So it's like
and a keychain from a place you lived 30 years ago. I know. Hey Tracy, I gotta get out of here.
You gotta go.
But
anyway, awesome talking to you. I can't wait until the next time we get to talk. And to all my melanin brothers and sisters, awesome check-in. And, by the way, I'm about to go get my breast smashed, so I needed this.
Yeah, and they don't validate parking.
Yeah, so hopefully this time, you know, they'll actually, you know, get my appointment, motherfuckers.
Tracy, take care, dear, and I hope the MRI of your toes go well, and you're back in time for Friday on the front porch tomorrow.
Awesome. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Later. Bye now.
Bye.
The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver, on her way to a mammogram that they couldn't get to the other day, and the fuckers don't. And you're talking to an Angelino when the follow-up is, and the motherfuckers don't validate parking. Ooh. So that's the end of the program for this evening. I'm off to the theater. And thank you, Kat. Kat did not get any company this evening, so that will find us at $680 for the fundraising goal to finish the week tomorrow. And thank you again, Kat, and thanks to our subscribers. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter how you do it. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights
and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.